that have organized this this amazing and very, very important and timely event. So jumping right in to the topic of the day. So first of all, my name is Amichai Cohen, Rabbi Cohen. I'm the founder of livekabbalah.com from the holy city of Tzfat for the last 8 years. Teacher in Ascent, Machon Alta, various institutions over here, and basically teaching and learning virtually has been something that I've been doing for the last 8 years. So it's great that so many people have, or by default, have just had to jump on this bandwagon of having to adapt ourselves to learning in a different type of a way. So I would love to hear any questions or comments that any of you have. So please do not hesitate to type them in. I would love to discuss them preferably at the end. So the topic of the class today is the five levels of tshuva. Now, let me just precede the actual, what we're actually going to be talking about, which is the five levels of tshuva, of understanding that tshuva, that's actually a contradiction, because tshuva, the Talmud says that the tshuva comes in a one-shot deal, that tshuva happens beriga chada, Zohar actually says this as well, beriga chada b'shaita chada, that it comes in one moment, that a person could do tshuva and reach the highest heights in just one moment. So what does that mean, that there are different various levels of teshuva, where the truth is that tshuva just could happen in an instant? So the Talmud goes into different levels of tshuva, and generally speaking, from Talmudic sources, there are two levels of tshuva. What is called tshuva tata, a lower tshuva, and tshuva ilah, and a higher level of tshuva, which we're going to discuss in greater detail. But I just want to give you an overview of the way Chazal see tshuva and how more contemporary thinkers saw tshuva, and how Hasidus specifically understands tshuva on the deepest level. So I just want to jump in to the very unique approach and style of one of the greatest thinkers in the last generation, the first chief rabbi of Israel. His name was Avram Yitzchak Cook, a Kohen Cook, who wrote a whole sefer called Orot HaTshuva, called The Lights of Tshuva, a beautiful, brilliant work, which goes into the heart and the essence of tshuva from a beautiful vantage point, a very poetic vantage point of the great Rav Kook. And in his introduction to this, to this great book, he writes so eloquently and so beautifully, he writes that he's been thinking about tshuva forever, basically. And what does tshuva really mean? And this is coming from a brilliant thinker, from one that was totally proficient in all aspects of Torah. So from a Talmudic standpoint, from a halachic standpoint, like the Rambam, we know that there are parameters of tshuva. What does he mean? What did Rav Kook mean? That I was thinking about what the tshuva means really forever, since I could remember myself. And therefore that is what inspired me to create this book. And so Rav Kook goes into tshuva based on a very humanistic approach of the human transition that really tshuva takes the person to. Because although tshuva could happen instantaneously in one moment, one could reach from the lowest levels to the highest echelons, nevertheless, to what is to be called a Baal tshuva, which means a master of tshuva, means that one has to master the different levels of teshuva. And the first thing is to understand what teshuva is. to understand that what the different levels of teshuvah actually are. And this is what we are going to be delving into for a good portion of this class. The levels of teshuvah based on the opinion of Rav Kook. And then we are going to view the five levels of teshuvah, the way Chassidus, specifically the Alter Rebbe, looks at teshuvah. And by the way, they are not they're not opposing each other. And like most opinions in Torah, they're really complementary one to the other. And it's just a way of how we view various opinions and really see that they're really saying the same thing. Okay, so Rav Kook starts off and explaining to us that there is what he calls four levels of tshuva. And we're just going to spell out the four levels. And he calls the first level tshuva tiv'it, a natural tshuva. There's a natural level of tshuva. Within tshuva tiv'it, within the natural level of tshuva, which obviously we're going to elaborate upon, there are two sub-levels. So although there are four levels I mentioned, but he says that there's technically three levels, which are divided into four, because the first level has two sections, two levels to. One is called tshuva tiv'it gufanit, a physical tshuva, which is very important that we're going to really try to understand what Rav Kook meant by that. And the second one is tshuva nafshit, is more of a spiritual tshuva, but again, that's called tiv'it. It's a natural spiritual movement and inclination that one has. So that's the first level. The second level is called tshuva emunit. It's called the tshuva, which comes from emuna. And that comes from a deeper belief system that one attributes themselves to. And then the third level is called tshuva sikhlit, an intellectual tshuva. Okay, so far so good? Okay. So let's delve into the first level that Rav Kook discusses, tshuva tiv'it. What is tshuva tiv'it, a natural level of tshuva? First subcategory within that is tshuva tiv'it gufanit, physical tshuva that one does. And so Rav Kook discusses the fact that our bodies are able to sense when we are out of line. And any good chiropractor or holistic practitioner is going to tell you the exact same thing, that our bodies, and we know now that our stomach, for example, is called the miniature brain because it has so many neurons to it. What we eat affects the way we think. How we move or don't move affects the way that we feel. And so there is an effect on our being by our by the body, what the body does, but by the way the body, what we eat, how we're able to heal ourselves, etc. And so Rav Kook says, and he was really ahead of his time because he's talking over here in the early 1900s, or, 19, more mid 1900s, talking about this, where people didn't really have that holistic sense of medicine. But he says over here, medicine is going to catch up and is going to reveal to us that our bodies know. And so the first level of tshuva, Rav Kook calls tiv'it gufanit, our natural physical sense that when we are out of line and we're separated and disjointed, and so we want to go back to the laws of nature to be able to eat the right type of foods, to be able to exercise, to be able to come back to ourselves. And he says that when we're out of line in our what is called our nefesh, our soul, it really starts because our body is also out of line, and we have to bring tshuva to our bodies. And just as an aside, but I find it incredible, you know, when people preach, especially in more religious circles, about all types of, you know, holy and ascetic kind of things, but yet the physical part is not always there in terms of the food, or in terms of it could be, you know, smoking and a lot of, you know, other types of conducts which do not reflect upon those holier, you know, levels. In many ways, those are contradictions. So that is the first level of tshuva. And I think that that is a brilliant approach, and such a true approach for us to really enter the world of tshuva. Because if any of us that are Bali tshuva, if we think about it, why do we want to change our lives? Often we don't feel good. Our bodies do not feel good, and we want to change something in our lives by, it could be eating different types of foods, exercising, or whatever it is. So we want to change something, which is what tshuva is. And a lot of times our bodies are telling us to do that. So our bodies are the catalyst for that inceptional change, bringing us back to what is called the laws of nature, listening to the laws of nature. And by the way, out there in the world right now, there's a beautiful movement that is going on in the world where people want to eat right. People are going more to right, you know, holistic ways in medicine, in eating healthy foods. And that's a beautiful thing, because that's really the beginning. It's showing that something is wrong in processed foods, something is wrong in how we are, you know, our lack of exercise, etc. And so being mindful to our bodies, that's the first level of tshuva. The second level is called tshuva. Within that is tiv'it nafshit. He calls it, he calls it nafshit. It's still more soul-based. It's more of a spiritual yet natural type of an inclination. And that has to do with a person tapping in to some sort of truth that is going on inside of them. So when someone is traveling in India, some Jewish kid, right, out there in the Himalayas or whatever it is, searching out some spirituality, what is calling them? Or Israeli kids after the army, traveling all over the world, searching for truth. Something inside of their soul, something inside of their neshama, it wants to be expressed, wants to be heard. And therefore, it is resonating. They don't know what it is yet. They don't know that sound, but they know that something is there. And therefore, it causes them to want to change. It causes them to want to now find something else, another path in their life. And we're also seeing this tremendous movement in New Age, in online learning, which Live Kabbalah is a part of. But there's a huge movement out there in the world that people are interested in learning, and they're interested in advancing their lives. And it's not just how much money am I making, and just running around the clock, you know, like a robot and like a in the rat race of life, but searching for something more, but not knowing what that is exactly. And so he calls it tiv'it. He calls it, it's a natural searching that a human, and by the way, Jews and non-Jews have. Because non-Jews also have a sense of tshuva, coming back to their sense of righteousness. And we're seeing that tremendously. It's something that I'm seeing a lot with the type of work that I'm doing, is non-Jews, and amazing non-Jews are coming from all over the world. And they're like, we want to change. We want to find something more truthful that is working, that is resonating in our lives. And we know that you, as a Jewish people, have something which is called the Torah. We may not ascribe to it 100%, but there are beautiful, timeless truths that are there that we want to hear from, that we want to listen to. So that's the second level. The second level, because that was the second part of the first level, Rav Kook calls it's tshuva emunit. It has to do with emunah, with ascribing to a belief system. Now, when a person is searching, and they're in that process of searching, so then there's no commitment really in that search process. A person is searching, going from one religion or one philosophy to another philosophy, and this is beautiful, and that's beautiful, and that's also beautiful. I'll take a little of this, a little of that. I'll go to the Native Americans. I'll go to the, you know, to the Far East for that. I'll go to the, you know, philosophy for that. And so a lot of times that's the Western world's approach to philosophy and to their own inner change. And that's really what New Age learning really looks like. It's a hodgepodge of many different theologies and religions and philosophies just all coming together that do not necessarily demand that much out of the individual necessarily. Whereas in Judaism, and the level of emunah that Rav Kook speaks about, is that when a person feels called by this level of change inside of them, inside of their body, from their body and from their soul level, then therefore that means that I need to ascribe to where this all fits into. Where's this actually coming from? Where's this voice coming from, right? There's that voice that's coming that I'm hearing, and this is many Jews coming especially from in the 60s, 70s, and still nowadays, you know, traveling around the world and then finding that there's that truth, but now what do I do with it? So that's what Rav Kook calls tshuva emunit. Now it begs the person for them to commit to how do they bring this out in actuality? What kind of work can they do, or do they need to do, to really bring their potential, who they are inside, in that voice that they've been trying to listen to and not really hear, understanding what that voice where that voice is coming from and what the voice is saying and where it's actually going. But in the words of Chazal and the words of our sages, there's a myriad of midrashim about tshuva and about what tshuva means and the greatness of the Baal Tshuva and the greatness of what we need to do. And so therefore, we go ahead and we change and we cause some sort of a practical change in our lives. And that's what he called a tshuva emunit, a tshuva that comes from emunah, ascribing to that greater collective truth, that of Torah, that one now ascribes to, and really searching for the answers of who they really are from that collective sense. Okay, so far so good. If anyone has any questions, like, please, don't hesitate to share them.
Can I ask a question for a sec? I'm comfortable with your first two levels, but I still find the amunit a little vague.
Devorah, if you don't mind typing it, for some reason I cannot hear you. I don't know why that's happening. So if you don't mind, if you could just type that in, I would really appreciate it, because I really want to hear the question. Okay. So as that question's coming in, let's go on to the third level of that that Rav Kook calls tshuva sichlit. A unite, or still seems vague. I'm not sure I understand that. It's about God connection. Yes, it definitely is about a God connection. But Rav Kook over here is saying, that a person causes or is searching for that answer in the greater system of Torah. That in the greater system of Torah, one will find the answer to their soul's quest and mission in this world. And so that's how he puts it. So the last level, he calls tshuva sichlit, an intellectual level. So that's a great question. So a person, quote, not religious, can do tshuva and stop after the first two levels. So as I mentioned, tshuva really has no levels. That's why I wanted to really open up and proceed with that. That the truth is tshuva, we can never understand the magnitude and the extent of what tshuva is. Because at the moment of tshuva, one already reached all levels. They're already there if they did it correctly. If they did it with all their hearts, and we'll share that story at the end about that. About that type of level of tshuva. But yes, even after tshuva, we know that a person could stop and then revert back to their old ways. And does that mean that that level of tshuva, you know, didn't do anything, didn't work? Of course it did. There's that connection that is eternal, yes. But did they persist in that journey? Or did they stop halfway towards the mountain? By the way, do you know what the word mediocre means or where it comes from? The word mediocre, interesting that it's actually comes from the Latin word medio. Medio is in the middle of acris, which is a mountain. Stopping in the middle of the mountain, that's mediocre. It's like you're not going all the way. Mediocre is staying halfway, whereas being exceptional is going all the way to the top. So someone may have done tshuva, and at that moment, it may have been the most sincere tshuva, but if they didn't persist with it, then that is a sort of a mediocre tshuva. And that's really what the word ba'al tshuva means, that one is a master of tshuva, that they keep on going, even though there are so many obstacles in the way, that it, specifically in this level, this is probably the most difficult level for a Baal Tshuva, because a Baal Tshuva now finds themselves in this newfound world of now, new ways of viewing the world, new ways of doing things, new types of people, and different dogmatics way of looking at it. Some they agree, some they don't, some they like, some they really dislike. And so fitting in and understanding why they're in it for the first place, why are they in this world of emunah, and why are they ascribing to it, essentially, is something that really requires a lot of persistence, a lot of diligence, a lot of what we call netzach, to really keep it up. So the last level of tshuva that Rav Kook calls is tshuva sichlit, which literally means intellectual tshuva. Now, let me just explain that. Intellectual doesn't mean intellectual like we think intellectual, like intellectual like, you know, Harvard, Princeton, you know, type of, you know, intellectual things that are, you know, coming at us. That's not what he called, that's not really what sichlit means. So Rav Kook was a student of, not an actual student, but he really had the Maharal, the teachings of the Maharal of Prague, as his main inspiration for his way of thinking. And so in the writings of the Maharal, He really went into this idea of sikhlit, which really means more of the soul levels, real spiritual level. So the first one was more of a spiritual dabbling. This is really intellectual, but it's more spiritual, because the mind says, Adam nefesh chaya, right? Says that the seichel, that the mind itself coincides with the idea of the spirit, of the spirituality within us. So nefesh asichliti calls over here the ability to view everything that we've gone through as being all a stepping stone for our being all there for our good, our greatest good. So we went through all of these difficulties, and we started from this level, and we went through this, you know, all these stages and challenges and hardships. And when one is in it, then they know, you know, I'm asked to come to a higher level. But on this level, one already sees that everything is ultimately for the good. Hashem has put me in all of my life, in all of my journeys, and seeing how Hashem is in every place in life. And that, just adding, he doesn't actually say this, but it's brought down in Chassidus that the idea of the seichel, so there's various parts of the seichel, but tshuva really comes from the world of Bina. Comes from the world of Bina. It says, Ema banim smechan. Bina actually is more associated with a feminine level of the mind that has to do with intuition, has to do with a deep sense of putting the dots together, whereas Chochmah is more of that inceptional, more of the male aspect. And the Bina is putting all the different pieces, all the dots together and saying, oh, now I get it. Now, I am so happy. Thank you, Hashem. I thought that this was the world. Yes, this is the best thing for me. This is unbelievable. And what does that cause within a person? Eima banim smecha, simcha. Because the truth is now, this is getting us higher and higher on the pedestal of understanding tshuva, that tshuva ultimately is about bringing us to a state of joy, bringing us to a level of simcha, of understanding how all the difficulties and the hardships around us is really all for the good. And if we are not on that level yet, and obviously we're all working towards that level, it means that there's still a lot more work that we need to do to really be able to see, to see Hashem in all of our paths and in everything that we do as being there ultimately just for the good. So these are the four levels of tshuva that Rav Kook shares with us. And I just want to quote a couple of beautiful lines over here that really spoke to me before we go to the fifth level that I think is going to be very interesting. So Rav Kook over here writes in the latter chapters, he says that one of the fundamentals of tshuva is understanding that in the thought process of a person, that we have a responsibility for not only ourselves, but for the entire world. That we are actually metamorphosizing from being self-centered in a sense. And that's okay, because we're all born that way. We're all born as all we know is ourselves. And we feel, once again, he started off with that tshuva, feeling our bodies, feeling that we are searching for something. And of course, maybe Hashem is awakening something within us. And then that brings us to a higher level of tshuva. But then reaching that highest level of tshuva is understanding that we have a responsibility for everyone else in the world, Jews and non-Jews, that we have an obligation, and it's a merit to now bring this newfound reality, not to, God forbid, impose this reality. And this is, by the way, a big problem that many Balei Tshuva have with their families, is trying to impose this newfound truth and worldview on their families that did not yet see, quote, the light yet. They haven't gone through that process that they have gone through. And so this is a very, it's a very sensitive level to be on. And it's a non-imposing way, a place to be on, because when one imposes tshuva on someone else and says, you know, you must do this, it's essentially, it's bringing that person to a level of tshuva out of fear at best, but it's mostly out of fear of being punished for something that they're not even aware of. But deep down inside, they don't really feel tshuva. They don't really feel that sense of wanting to come back and cleave to Hashem and cleave to their highest self. They just don't want to be punished because they heard from this person, from this, a lot of times, rabbi, that they're going to be, you know, something bad is really going to happen. And so for some people, that may work, and that may be an awakening on some level. The Rebbe actually said that for in our generation, that's not necessarily the approach, and that's not something that is going to really reach the effect of awakening people to a true level of tshuva, to a real level of tshuva within themselves, because they are reaching a level of tshuva because... you know, lightning is going to strike them or something bad is going to happen to them, God forbid. But understanding that we care about other people is not necessarily telling them that they must do A, B, and C, and Z. But many times it's shining upon them and showing that they are living a happy and a fulfilling life. Does that make sense? And in a sense, that's the greatest inspiration for someone else. For most people, doing tshuva meant going to a Shabbos table where they sat in some beautiful family's house and they felt the bliss of Shabbat and they saw those beautiful candles and the delicious challah and the smell of the chicken soup and the beautiful singing and the children sitting there together. And they were like, this is it? Oh, why don't you tell me that? I want this. Who wouldn't want that, right? That's why actually Shabbat is the letters of what? Tashuv. Teshuva is the letters of Shabbat. Because it's the most beautiful level of tshuva, is returning on that level of joy, which again, Chassidus calls, the Zohar calls tshuva ilah, a higher level of tshuva. Rav Kook calls it tshuva sichlit, tshuva ilah, higher level of tshuva, of understanding that I am back. I am back and better than ever, because now I've gone through that process. I've earned my, you know, the badges of everything that I had to go through. And now I'm in a place of goodness and bliss, and there's still many, many challenges, but at least I know that this is it. And that responsibility is something that needs to now reflect onto others in a loving way, in an inspiring way, in looking at others in a positive way. And he writes over here that tshuva cannot really happen. True tshuva cannot happen with depression, with sadness. That sadness or depression on any level, maybe that first level of tshuva, remember, that's the level of tshuva tiv'it. It's a natural that our bodies are feeling it, or something inside of our souls is saying, you know, I got to get out of this. I'm not in a good space, you know, thinking this way or being around this society that I'm in. I got to get out because this isn't good for me. And we know it deep down inside. So that may be that sad times in our lives, but that's only the beginning, because real tshuva has to end off with simcha, has to end off with joy. And so I just want to end off with just one more quote from Rav Kook. And by the way, I really connect to Rav Kook, especially is that the way of seeing everything in that right eye and with that level of love, that level of a Kohen, which I connect to as being a Kohen as well. And that level of love. And he writes over here that one cannot really reach a level of tshuva unless they feel that, or full level of tshuva, unless they feel that connection to that totality sense of responsibility of the Jewish people. And he goes even further in the land of Israel, right? And that destiny that we're all collectively on, and that all of our actions have that collective destiny, like the Rambam says. Our actions are not just as individuals, but our actions tilt the scales also on the cosmic level, on the greater level as well. So it's all going back to our true higher selves. Now, what is the fifth level of tshuva? Now, the fifth level of tshuva, which the Alter Rebbe speaks about a level, quoting the Zohar, that even tzaddikim are going to be doing tshuva, that Mashiach is going to come to the world, la'tava tzaddikaya b'tiyufta, that even tzaddikim are going to do tshuva. What does that mean? Simchut tzaddikim b'Hashem. Tzaddik is someone that has no flaws. Someone that's on the level of serving God with joy, because if you're not serving God with joy, then you're not really serving God. So what does that mean, that Mashiach is going to return even tzaddikim to do tshuva? That doesn't make sense from an intellectual level. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the deepest level of tshuva is understanding that even on our greatest level of spiritual ascent that we may reach, that is still a limitation compared to where we could reach that next level. And he elaborates upon this. And he says, based on the haftarah of this week's parsha, the Navi says, the prophet says, return to Hashem, Shuva Hashem, Ad Hashem Elokecha. Shuva Yisrael, return Israel until Ad Hashem Elokecha, until the level of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elokecha, becomes your Elokim. The Alter Rebbe explains this on various levels in his writings in the Likutei Torah. He explains Ad Hashem Elokecha means until Yudke Vavke becomes your Elokim. Now, let me just explain what that means. We know that there are various names of the holy names of Hashem, many, many names of Hashem, but generally speaking, there are seven names of Hashem. We actually have a whole course on that, and it's a very deep idea. But Yudke Vavke is the name of God, which is connected to the infinite nature of Hashem. And the name Elokim is the same gematria, the same numerology as Hateva, which means nature. And so, Bereshit Bara Elokim, when we look at nature, we're really seeing God in a veil, that there's a veil within nature. And we really reveal how that name and how nature is just a code word.
Yeah, I know, but they don't want
that
you.
That is there. That is just there for to reveal really Hashem inside of it. Now, what does that mean? Ad Hashem Elokecha. So return until Hashem Yudke Vavke, which is the infinite nature of Hashem, becomes Elokecha, becomes your God. The Alter Rebbe explains that this is the level of now reaching that our limitation, once again, our limitation is Elohim, the name of Elohim. And that's the limitation essential of being human, with all of its greatness and faults and everything that we could reach. Even tzaddikim, Rav Kook calls against, again, that level of tshuva sikhlit, that intellectual level, that spiritual level, seeing how everything is interconnected, how all the dots are connecting, how there's that beautiful cosmic unity in the world that is still my understanding. That is still coming from me. In other words, that person, that me, is someone that has worked on themselves, especially tzaddikim, really have worked on themselves, progressing to that level, but there's still that level of the I. And that level of the I, essentially, is still a level that's a part of the self, which is really the most deepest part of the self, has not fully returned. Because that level of that self, which is the I, has not fully returned. And how could it return? So that's what the Alter Rebbe says, Ad Hashem Elokecha, returning until Yudke Vavke becomes your Elohim, until reaching that level of that infinity is our nature. Our true nature is infinity. Now, that sounds very out there. That sounds very, like, what does that mean? Infinity is our nature? No. Well, yes. Really, truly, truly, our deepest self, highest, highest self, even this beyond the self that we even know, that we even could even get to on our own accord, is that level of infinite potential, an infinite cleaving on to Hashem on the level of tanug, on the level of joy, pleasure, an infinite pleasure, lit anegal Hashem. That's why on Shabbat, the third meal is the highest part of Shabbat, where we are, says we're on the level of tanugim, connected to Atika Kadisha, connected to Keter, that on that part of Shabbat, we are elevated to the level of really of the essence. And from that perspective, we're not even basking in physical food, really, on that third meal of Shabbat, although there is that third meal of Shabbat, but really the highest level of the meal is it's a spiritual meal that we're enjoying, which is a meal of complete pleasure in Hashem. So Devora, so because she was about coming close to Hashem, there must be a higher level. Exactly. And so that answers what the Zohar says, that Mashiach is going to cause even tzaddikim to do teshuva. Mashiach, that revelation of Mashiach and the revelation of the Geula, which is really imminent and really upon us, God willing, this year, we are going to experience, and we have to talk about this, and we have to really just prepare for this and know that we're going to experience like higher levels of higher levels of spiritual ascent. And so even the tzaddikim, for what they know and for what they feel that they are in intellectually connecting to or on their level of avodah on, still, it's like you haven't even reached anything. I mean, you haven't even started in a sense. It's all just beginning. That's why it says at the end of Isaiah, the book of Yeshaya, that Mashiach is going to reveal to us the deepest secrets, just like the water covers the oceans. And the analogy of that is that just like, you know, when we're on a beach, you put your feet inside of the water, you're in shallow, you go in progressively deeper. So too, in our states of consciousness, our states of deeper awareness, we're gonna go to a level of just complete depth that is going to be revealed to us, each one obviously according to our levels, because we're not just going to be blown out of the water when Mashiach comes. It's going to be what is called Oris de Toh. It's going to be really high lights, but within the Kalim of Tikkun, like the Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe spoke about. It's very high lights of Mashiach is going to bring everyone to do tshuva, including tzaddikim, but not to just blow them out of the water, so to speak, but to cause that awareness to now become a part of us, to become holistically and progressively just a part of where we are going to. So this essentially also fits with the five levels of tshuva that we are going to be going to on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, there are five levels of, first of all, five levels of prayer, corresponding to the five levels of soul, corresponding to the five levels of affliction that we go to, or that we are afflicting ourselves on Yom Kippur. Besides not eating or drinking, there's the levels of that we're abstaining from, that physical connection, being bound to this world, which allows us to connect to the five levels of soul, which brings us to that highest point of Yom Kippur, which is that point of the point of Ne'ila. That's the apex, where there's essentially that which is chanted, which is prayed at the end of Yom Kippur. What do we say at the end? Hashem Hu Elokim. What do we say? Hashem Elokim. How many times? Seven times. First, we say the Shema Yisrael. Hashem is one. There's complete unity. And then Hashem Hu Elokim. Why seven times? We take that revelation of Hashem Hu Elokim, and we're bringing it seven times into our Midos, into the seven Spheros. We're taking that level that we have gained on Yom Kippur, that tshuva, which we have gotten to, the beyond world, that level of ta'anug. And what, by the way, what's Yom Kippur called in the Torah? It's called Shabbat, Shabbaton. It's called the ultimate levels of Shabbat. It's not just Shabbat. It's like the super Shabbat, because that's the level of the ultimate return. But we don't just leave Yom Kippur that way, but we want to take that revelation to our world. We want to bring it down. And according to Hasidus, of course, we bring down these seven levels then in our sukkah. Those are the seven levels, the seven ananei kavod, the seven ushpizin that the Zohar speaks about. And then we're surrounded by the sukkah, by the light of the Shechina, and the effect of our tshuva that we have done, drawing that down into our lives. So, I think that we'll pause here for this for now. It's a super Shabbos. Yep, it's a super Erev Shabbos, to be more exact. We're super Erev Shabbos before the ultimate Shabbos of Mashiach. And we know that Erev Shabbos is always the craziest time in the entire week. So if anyone has questions, please, for some reason, I can't hear the questions. But if we could type them or comments, that would be great. Okay, everyone is at their apex.
Thank you very much. Tada rabba.
It means everybody is totally satisfied and full, filled up with the beautiful
Torah. Baruch Hashem.
Beautiful.
Baruch Hashem. I was so happy to be be a part of this. And I wish all of you and all of us a Gemar Chasima Tova, good Gebenched year for us and for you and our and the families. Everyone's family should be healthy and well and safe and happy and be able to go to the next levels and be ready for Mashiach, which is here.
Amen.
Waiting for our waiting for that next level. So amen. So beautiful that I want to again thank you, Judy, for you know, and all of you for putting this on. It's such an important and timely thing. And may we all together be there in Yerushalayim for the ultimate coming of Mashiach.
Wow.
My pleasure, Chaya and Rachel and Ora. Wishing you guys many, many blessings. And I guess we'll leave it on for the next speaker that's about to come on, giving you guys a little bit of a break. Or to go grab a coffee or something.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Wow.
Mar Chasima Tova, everyone. And good Gebenched Yor. And I'm looking forward to further classes and further